Martin Luther said, it is not imitation that makes us sons. It is being sons that make us imitators. Think about that for a moment. We say, fake it until you make it. But is that really true? Let me ask you this. If you have a child and they're about to get married, is your advice going to be fake it until you make it? No, it's going to be, okay, you're in this relationship, be it. It's kind of like what Paul said to the Corinthians when he calls them saints. He's not saying, hey, you guys, fake like you're saints until it actually becomes real. He's saying, you are saints, now start living like it. Please bow with me. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are so blessed. Sometimes, Lord, because of the things that swirl around us, we have a hard time seeing those blessings. But Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, our hearts, and help us to see the blessings that we have in you. To be called your children. Lord, again, it's overwhelming, and we thank you and we praise you. Pray, Lord, that at this time that you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Lord, it is your word that has the power to shape us, to mold us, to draw us closer to you. Draw us closer, O Lord. May you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to be studying John chapter 13, verses 12 through 20. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 20. The first part of this chapter is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I suggested last week that what he was basically saying is that you have to accept me for who I am.
That's right.
And if that's the case, that's going to kind of color how we view this passage. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." So after he's done washing his feet, puts back on his outer garment, and they recline at table. And then he asks them, "Do you know what I did to you?" And it's interesting because he doesn't say, "Do you know what I did for you?" He says, "Do you know what I did to you?" See, what he did was he is shifting their view of the world. And if he's going to shift their view of the world, he's also asking them to shift how they live in the world. "Do you know what I did to you? You call me Lord and teacher." And rightly so. Now, I think that's significant. He says, okay, first of all, you call me rabbi, that you call me your teacher, you call me Lord, master, and that's the right thing. I am those things. He's not saying, okay, I'm going to act like a slave and I'm going to put aside being your master. No. He's saying, I want to show you what really it means to be a master.
That's right.
And a teacher. A master is somebody who acts like a slave. I mean, can you see how he's trying to shift how they view the world? Because that's not how they view masters. That's not how we view masters. But that's what he's asking them to see. He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, if I washed your feet, then you also ought to do the same. And now we have to decide. Is he commanding that we wash feet? It sounds like it, doesn't it? There are some churches, by the way, that make washing feet a part of their worship service. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. Matter of fact, I've seen some feet washing done in a very good way. I saw it done at a wedding. It was amazing. Every year, I appreciate that every year in the Catholic Church, the Pope washes the feet of prisoners. I think that's a good thing. But I think the danger is that if we make it something that is commanded to wash feet, we might miss the point. Feet washing doesn't have the same significance for us today as it did in Jesus' day. And what he's saying is not, I want you to wash feet. I want you to do the same as I did, and that is be like a slave. I want you to be a foot-washing follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen, that's right.
So we've got to ask ourselves, what exactly does that look like today? What does it mean to be a foot-washing follower of Jesus Christ? It means you act like a slave. This is what Jesus is saying that we must do. We still have a problem with that, don't we?
I have a friend, I know that sounds amazing and shocking, but I do. I have a few.
He went on a mission trip, and on this mission trip with him, there was a well-known speaker in the Churches of Christ.
And this mission trip was twofold. During the day, they did hard work, like digging trenches, like laying concrete for floors and things like that. And I've been on mission trips like that. It's hard work.
And then in the evening, they had a gospel meeting.
This well-known speaker made it very clear from the beginning, I'm here to do the speaking. I will not be doing the work. Now, the reason I'm not telling you the name is because I'm getting this all from a perspective of somebody else. Not to mention, I don't think it's appropriate to give you the name.
My friend's perspective of this was, this guy's a prima donna.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to be the one who's imparting wisdom. He doesn't want to be the one who's getting his hands dirty.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I understand how my friend got there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's still something in us. We want to be the ones that have all the answers. We want to be the ones that are imparting wisdom. And we want to avoid the things that smack, smell, taste like slavery. So there's this preacher. And the church that he's working with, there's a lot of homeless people in the area.
And they would often come to the church building and ask him for whatever, and he'd make them a cup of coffee, or he would give them food, that if there was food in the refrigerator, or do whatever. And it's a small little church, and they didn't have a whole lot of funds.
And so one day there's this pounding at the door, and he opens it up, and there's this large homeless guy standing in the doorway saying, I need some food.
Well, he had just given the last amount that he had. He didn't have anything left, and he didn't have any funds to do it with. And he said, I'm sorry, but we're out. And the guy became angry and yelling and cussing at him and threatening him. And so he shut the door and locked it and called the police. A month later, the same guy showed up with two other people, said, hey, can we talk to you in your office? And he said, sure, would you like a cup of coffee? They said, yeah, that'd be great. So he makes them a cup of coffee. They're sitting down in his office, and he notices that the older gentleman has a pair of shoes but no socks, and his feet are completely tore up.
So the preacher says, sir, I don't have just a pair of socks laying here, but if you want my socks that are on my feet, I'll give them to you. The old man says, yes, please. The preacher takes off his socks, he hands them to him, and the old man begins to cry. To the preacher, it was no big deal, it was a pair of socks. To the old man, it was a foot-washing follower of Jesus moment.
That's right.
The big guy said afterwards to the preacher, I was wrong about you. Mm. I thought you just didn't care about homeless people.
Amen.
What does it look like for us today? It means laying down of life. It means laying down of your self-importance. It means dying to yourself. It means pouring yourself out so that others can see the glory of God.
Amen.
That's
right.
God is calling us to be foot-washing followers of Jesus Christ. You cannot do that by just showing up on a Sunday morning and making that your religion.
No.
It is an everyday moment of laying down of self.
That's right.
that Jesus is calling his followers to.
Amen. Thank you.
Since I gave you this example, do it. Verse 16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. When Jesus says, truly, truly, he's saying, pay attention, this is important. It's amen. Amen. The word amen was how you sealed verbal agreements. If both parties said amen, it was a contractual verbal agreement. Let it be. When Jesus says, truly I say to you, or truly, truly I say to you, he is saying, this is important stuff, listen up. And interestingly enough, he's not telling them anything they don't know. A slave is not greater than their master. They know that. Matter of fact, that's part of the problem. They think slave should be here and master should be here. And he says, I just turned things upside down for you. I, the master and teacher, acted like a slave. You are not greater than I am.
Amen. That's right.
The one who is sent is not greater than the one who does the sending. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And isn't that interesting?
That's right.
He doesn't say, if you know this, you're blessed. Good job.
No, you do it.
He says, if you know it and do it, that's where the blessing comes. It's not enough to know what God says. You will never fully understand the message of God until you live the message of God. It's the same thing that Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The wise man, the one who hears these words of mine and does them, is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The winds came, the waters fell, the floods, the beating against the house, and the house stood.
Amen.
The one who hears these things and doesn't do them, this is not because of a lack of understanding, because the word hear can also mean to understand. The one who hears these things and doesn't do them is like a foolish man. He builds his house on the sand, the water, the wind, the beating against the house, and the house falls. Your Christianity cannot stand on head knowledge alone.
That's right.
You have to live it. So that's what he's saying to the disciples. It's not enough for you to understand what I'm telling you. You have to get out there and live it. That's what he's telling to us, because we are his disciples.
Amen.
We claim to be.
Amen.
We have to live it. Verse 18. I do not speak of all of you. I know the one who I've chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I've chosen. One of the accusations against Jesus early on was, if he's really the Messiah, if he's really the Son of God, he would have known that one of his followers was a betrayer. So Jesus is letting them know, I know. I know. This is not a surprise. It's not like it happened and Jesus went, who knew? Judas. I mean, you know, I thought he was a good guy. Jesus knew. Matter of fact, I know he, I believe personally that he knew when he chose him what he was going to do. And then I think he quotes the scripture to help us to understand the depth. Even though Jesus knew, I think he wants us to understand the depth of feeling a betrayal. He quotes from Psalm 41:9. The rabbis, as they commented on that passage, they said, hey, that's about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a counselor of David. And then Absalom decided he's going to rebel, he's going to orchestrate a coup and take over. Ahithophel switched sides and became a counselor for Absalom. And so the rabbis said, hey, this is David speaking about his betrayal. When you eat bread with somebody, that in the Eastern culture is a bond.
I mean, we have that a little bit here. I mean, when you eat, you share life, and you're sharing each other, and there's something of that. But in the Eastern culture, it's a stronger thing. I mean, you are bonded to that person. It's a sign of friendship. You're sharing bread with them. To raise your heel against somebody, that's, you do that and you despise that person. See, what Jesus is saying is, Judas despises me. Can you feel the depth of betrayal? It's not just Judas wrestling with stuff. I've been showing the youth out at YCC the series The Bible, and they portray Judas as really kind of wrestling with it, and Judas despises Jesus. You know why? Because he cannot make the shift in his worldview. He cannot change what he is in his mind. He does not want to be a slave like Jesus is a slave. He doesn't want to believe in a Messiah that didn't come as a conquering hero but came as a slave. He doesn't want to believe that. And so he despises what Jesus is. And he betrays him. But how often do we understand how hurtful that was to Jesus? Jesus loves Judas. The one who shared bread with me is the one who raises his heel against me. Have you ever felt betrayed by somebody that you thought was close to you? You have somebody in heaven right now who understands exactly what that feels like. And they're the one mediator between man and God, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He understands exactly what that feels like. Praise God.
That's right.
Amen.
He says, from now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it happens, you'll know. I am. Most translations throw in the word he. That's not in the Greek, and I think that's on purpose. I think what he's saying is, I am. I am who I am. I'm God. I'm telling you it's going to happen in the past. Jesus was not surprised by Judas. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He is I am. And he wants them to know it. And so he ends up with, again, another very important, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. This was a Jewish maxim, an accepted truth. If you do business with somebody that was sent by somebody else, you are, in fact, doing business with that person. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that all the Jewish people lived by that, but they expected that that's the way it was. We don't really in this culture. Okay, so in the summer we had to have our garage door fixed, and now it's completely broken. So we're talking to the people who fixed it, and actually the owner comes out to look at it and says, "Oh man, you need a whole new door." And I don't know who put that up, but we don't do that because that's inferior stuff. And we said, "Oh well, it was one of your employees." "Oh no, we don't do that." "Well, you did." He would not stand behind what his employee did. Because in our culture, that's not really a thing. In Jesus' day, that was a thing. Now notice what he's getting to. This is stuff, man. He says, if I send you out there and they receive you, they are receiving me. Now let that sink in for a moment, because what he's saying is, what image of God are you projecting as you're out there? And what they're receiving is whatever you are projecting. Whatever God you are following, that's what they're receiving if they receive you. And if you're not following Jesus and who he says he is, then what they're receiving is not Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not trying to make this really hard or burdensome on you. I'm really not. I just think we ought to think about it. Our job is to find out who Jesus is, and then we're sent out, and whoever receives us is not receiving us, they're receiving Jesus.
Yeah.
That's also a freeing thing, right?
Yes.
Because we're so afraid. People are, I don't know if you're like me. I don't like rejection.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think about it too much often.
Mm.
It gets in the way of doing the right thing sometimes in my life. But the reality is, if I get out there and I talk to people about Jesus and they say, get out of my face, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. If they receive me, they're not receiving me, they're receiving Jesus. So, we are called to be foot-washing followers of Jesus Christ. The question is, are we? We have opportunities. There's this place in town called the Soup Cafe. They just reopened. They're looking for volunteers. You have an opportunity to make food, serve food, clean up after homeless people. I pray you don't feel like you're too good for that. Because that's exactly where our Lord and Savior would be.
True.
And I'm not saying everybody has to do that. That's not my point. My point is we have to find ways where we can be foot-washing followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if that means helping somebody who's stuck on the side of the road, if that means just calling for somebody, or whatever it might be, we've got to stop thinking that we're too important to help people where they're at.
That's right.
I shared this morning in prison. God really did a number on me this week. I'm studying 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7 to preach in prison. And it's pray for all people. Because God wants everyone to be saved.
That's right.
And I discovered there are some people I don't want to pray for this week.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in the news.
Mm.
One is the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympic doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I've been praying for those girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I've got to pray for him. I did not want to. When that hit my head, I was like, no. Am I better than he is? No. God wants him saved. God wants him saved. Are we foot-washing followers of Jesus Christ? What that means is we do not project or believe that we are the masters and we have everything under control. Can we admit as Christians that we don't have all the answers?
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Yeah.
That we are still learning, we're still working this out, and the things that we've got to learn that are the hardest things are not understanding difficult things in the Bible. The things that are the most difficult is getting on our knees and washing the feet of other people that sometimes we feel like we're better than. Can we be honest?
Yes.
We sometimes feel like we're better than. And Jesus speaks into our hardness of heart and he says, do as I did.
That's right.
And he's not saying literally wash people's feet. Because quite frankly, that misses the point in our culture. There's been some ways that it's been done that are amazing and good. But if you go out there and try to wash people's feet, you will get probably hurt. Right? Don't try to wash Aaron's feet. I just got the message. But we need to be foot washing followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because
yes.
I'm not better than the person living on the streets.
No.
I'm not better than the child molester. God, I think I am, but I'm not. I need to be a foot washing follower of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
And it's not always easy, brothers and sisters. It's hard. But I want to be a foot washing follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the good news is, in those moments when I don't want to do it, I have the Holy Spirit to help me. And I desperately need that. So this morning, we're called. Jesus didn't do this thing randomly. He did it to teach, to show. And the first part is, this is who I am. I am the Son of God who acts like a slave. And the second part, he says, now go do the same. Get off your mountain. Get in the trenches. And wash your feet. And by the grace of God, we can do it. If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, I want you to understand that whatever you're struggling with, there is nothing that is so bad that the grace of God cannot reach.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't have to keep it a secret. You do not have to hide it. Whatever it is, even if it's something that you have struggled with over and over and over again, the grace of God still reaches out to you.
That's right.
If you need prayers, let us know. If you want to know more about our God, who did not come to be Lord and Master like we talk of Lord and Master, but came to be the Lord and Master who bends down and washes feet. If you want to know more about our God, we'd love to talk to you about God. Whatever you need, please come as God, we stand and sing.